I want to further introduce my wife because I want to. First, I want you to know how much I love her, and I want you to also to know how deeply connected she is to you. There is not a day that goes by that you are not on her mind. She has spent countless hours advocating for you. Literally, she cannot contain her enthusiasm. I think that she has a wand that she walks up to every human being that she meets, and it goes over them and checks them for a heart for her gay brothers and sisters. There's not a place that she isn't spreading love for you. And I'm saying this to you because there's a strong possibility, better than 50-50, that she's going to come up and will start weeping and can't stop. So, I'm a man that plans. My old Boy Scout, be prepared. I'm just telling you so you know her. So she just cries for 15 minutes and closes. You're like, oh, I'm sure glad Steve gave us some insight into who she is. So anyway, I introduce my wife, Barb.
Wow, we're here. I'm going to start crying. I have to take in this moment, because if you would have told me that we would be here in Utah at this conference 2 months after the Supreme Court killed Doma and Prop 8. Oh, God. You were there, you were supporting me, you were holding my big pregnant belly as I sobbed for hours and hours every day for months and months through that time. And I also want to thank Carolyn Pearson, because there are a lot of people who are on the front of this movement that I call the Love Movement, who have dedicated their lives to this movement and that have been instrumental in my life. And there are three in particular: Bob Reese, Joanna Brooks, and Carolyn Pearson, who is my spiritual matriarch mentor. She is my angel here on earth, and she is many of your angels too. So thank you, Carolyn. I must admit, I was nervous and a little intimidated to come up here. I'm not a professional speaker like my husband. You see the way he can work a crowd. I'm not a professional writer like Carolyn, but what I have is passion, and a lot of it for my LGBT brothers and sisters. So please forgive me if I stumble, but know that this talk is coming from my heart. I grew up in Arizona with a really small family, just one brother, and yes, he is gay. Everyone tried to make that a point to justify my stance during Prop 8. In fact, it was funny because someone wrote about my involvement with Noah on Steve's wiki page and said, "She has only one brother and he is gay." And my brother thought that was so funny. He's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm famous, I made it to the wiki page." And they've taken it off since, but still to this day he'll call me and he'll say, "It is I, your only brother, who is gay." Record, I want you all to know that whether I had a gay brother or not, my stance would have been the same. I still would have done the right thing. And he does have a name. His name is Michael. Mike and I grew up, we loved musicals. We grew up dancing all over the house. I mean, one day we were the Von Trapp kids, the next day we were the Jets. We were everyone from Magenta and Rocky to Horace and Dolly. I mean, we loved musicals. But what's funny, now, I, my whole family, they're not Mormon. I'm a convert. So my non-Mormon brother's favorite musical growing up, of all the musicals, was Saturday's Warrior. You should have seen the look on Steve's face when my brother made that announcement and started singing, "Who are these I can't sing." He loved it. And they bonded. They bonded over their Saturday's Warrior. When Steve and I got married, my brother got up to give his toast, and knowing that he had just lost his dance partner to another, he choked up and looked Steve in the eye and made him promise that he would always dance with me. But now poor Steve is stuck doing the time warp for time and all eternity. You didn't hear what he just said. He just said, it's just a jump to the left. My brother is the most amazing human being I know. Forgive me, I'm about to brag on him. He speaks 5 languages. He plays numerous instruments. He graduated top of his class. He's got his law degree at Georgetown. He sings in the Gay Men's Chorus of LA. He's a corporate trial attorney, and yet he managed to do every single flash mob. If you've seen it on TV, he has been in it. So again, I apologize for bragging, but you have to understand, he has been my inspiration my whole life. And also part of that was a little bit of a plug, because now that Benji is single and my brother needs a husband, did you hear the part about the flash mobs? Dances, but we can talk about that later. Speaking of my brother and needing a husband, I have a cute story. My children. My oldest son, Brayden, my brother was visiting, and we were on the couch and we were talking. And my son at the time was 8 years old, and he was doing some kind of project right below us. And without even looking up, he said, "Uncle Mike, I like that you're the only uncle on my mom's side." And my brother said, "Oh, thanks, Brayden." And then he looked up at him and he said, "But one day, we're hoping there will be 2. I am one of those people that loves every gay person I meet. My friends always tease me because if there's a gay person on a reality show, they're like, "Oh, we know who you want to win." I admit it. I know there's a reason for it outside of the fact that generally, they're just smarter, more talented. I know the stereotype, but I find it to be true, so I'm sticking with it. But really, it is the same reason that when I was a little girl, I used to cry every time I saw a biracial couple. It was the most beautiful vision. Even as a little girl, I got it. Back then, you didn't see it enough, and so when I did, I would cry happy tears. Why? Because I love when love wins. I love when love conquers all. This couple's love for one another, has defied all the bigots, the ignorant haters, despite having people, has drawn strong judgments against them, and what they believe is right or wrong. This couple has risen up in love. To me, they were a shining example of love's triumph over hate. Love always wins. This is how I feel about my LGBT brothers and sisters. All of you, you have had to put up with so much. You have risen up despite the adversity, despite the ignorance. You have risen up and you represent love with a capital L. You are fighting for love. You have so much love to give, and many of you have been deprived of the love you deserve. I admire you. You've gone through the fire, a fire that shouldn't even be there, and nonetheless, you're here, surviving, thriving, like a phoenix from the flames. So yes, every gay person I meet, I love. And every reality TV gay person, game player, is someone that I vote for. Because they have gone deep, and they've discovered a love for themselves, and it's wonderful love to give and to receive. Now, if you're a biracial gay couple on a reality show, this I know, you, my LGBT brothers and sisters, Mormon or not, chose or were chosen to be born at this time for this lesson for humanity. Just like the Freedom Riders and those that marched with Martin Luther King were born at that time, you were chosen to do the work of the Lord for this time. You were chosen to raise the spiritual consciousness of this time. You are teachers, the leaders, the warriors. You are raising the spiritual consciousness of your families, of your church, of the community, of the world. It is already happening. We're seeing it all around us. I mean, did you see the Home Depot proposal here in South Carolina?
That would have never happened 5 years ago.
It's incredible. And if any of you haven't seen it, you have to go check it out on YouTube. Home Depot proposal. Even if your own family isn't responding, the people around them are. The pace is quickening. More and more people are having their open-hearted aha moments every day. Just by being present, just by being you, you are teaching and changing the people around you to go deep, to understand you, to understand themselves, and in the end, really understand the work of Jesus and his infinite, infinite love for all of us. This generation of lesbian, bi, gay, transgender men and women are teaching humanity Jesus' most basic lesson, that we must love one another, that we must embrace our differences as positives, that we must raise each other up and glorify one another. And many are learning that our response to those around us is a reflection of where Jesus lives in our hearts. Let's say that again. Our response to those around us is a reflection of where Jesus lives in our hearts. Jesus is saying it is not enough just to love him, but our love for him is to be reflected in our love for each other. I feel honored and blessed to have my brother and many gay friends in my life. I am better for it, and I know all of the hetero family and allies out there know what I'm talking about. I have to admit, my evolution was rather quick. My brother came out to me when I was 18. He was very nervous, very calm, trying to, you know, just want to be sure that everything was going to be okay. And he came out to me. And of course, my hormonal teenage response to him was, cool, let's go scam on some guys. But there are many who aren't quite up to speed and up to the message. But we must be patient with those around us who haven't quite, they don't know what it means, and they haven't quite gotten the Christian message yet. I have to remind myself every day not to get frustrated with people that I run across that still don't get it. You can't take someone who's in kindergarten and expect them to graduate from high school. So we learn to be patient, like Jesus. We wait with open arms, and we love people through their evolution. I'm telling you this as much as I'm telling myself this, because when everyone else is talking about building bridges, I'm one of those people that wants an earthquake to come and put together the land masses so we don't need a bridge anymore. But I do understand that we have to love people through their process and through their evolution. There's a Buddhist saying, I'm daily making myself what I am. We aren't who we were 10 years ago or even 10 minutes ago. We're all in a constant state of evolution. This goes for everyone and everything around us. Communities and institutions are always evolving. This church is always evolving. It is actually one of the most beautiful things about this church is that it can evolve. So many churches have not made room for when the best kind of spiritual growth happens. In some ways, they're kind of stuck. Okay, so it's not going as fast as we want it to go, but it is evolving, and we are seeing the spiritual consciousness being raised. So hold on, because I believe it's going to get really good. I have a beautiful story I want to share with you about a dear friend during Prop 8. Her name is Carrie. Carrie was on the same page as me, at least I thought. She had a very near and dear nephew who was gay. So you can imagine my surprise when late into Prop 8, I spotted her name on the Yes and 8 donor list. Yes, I am one of those that checked the list. I went to her that Sunday and just looked at her, and she knew. I just looked at her and was like, are you kidding me? And those of you from California can remember, there was kind of a glaze that went over everyone's eyes during that time. I look back and I think it's because they kind of had to make themselves numb for what they were doing. And I was running around going, Jesus, don't you remember Jesus, please? Let's look at Jesus. And she had that look. She had that look, and she just couldn't even give me a reason. She was kind of mumbling and mumbling. So a few weeks later, the vote comes, and Prop 8 passes. And Carrie wakes up and locks herself in the bathroom. And she's sobbing. And her family can't get her out of the bathroom. She woke up. And she is in there with the telephone and no one can get her out. And she calls her neighbors, this wonderful lesbian couple raising young children that lived across the street. And they said, Carrie, come out of the bathroom. Let's meet halfway. And so they did. And they met right there in the street. And Carrie fell to her knees and said, please forgive me. I am so ashamed. I'm so ashamed. And you know what they said to her? They didn't say, gee, our children walked past your sign every day and cried at school, only to walk home every day from school and cry themselves to sleep every night. They didn't say that. And they didn't say, well, a little too late now. I mean, the vote was yesterday. Now you're doing this? No. They picked her up and they held her and they said, Carrie, what matters is this moment right now. This moment is what matters. We love you and we forgive you. This moment, right now, makes me cry every time. A couple months later, Carrie came over and she had a book that this couple had written about the whole prophet experience, and it was a children's book, so it was about their children. And Carrie opened the page and she turned to the page where she is pounding in the sign in her yard and the children are walking past to school and they've got that sad, confused look on their face. And she turns to the page, she points to her on this page, and with tears streaming down her face, she whispers, I can't believe that was me. I can't believe that was me. And then I held her. And there was something so beautiful about watching her go through those labor pains to give birth to the most incredible heart. Her evolution. Love always wins. I want to close by thanking you again for giving us this opportunity to speak to you. It really was a dream come true. But I want to leave you with this thought. If we consciously embrace Jesus' teachings of compassion, empathy, love, patience, and forgiveness, the future will be incredibly different than if we don't. I give you my love and my blessings. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.